This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
On Friday, my old friend Brian Wilson interviewed me on his station WSPD in Toledo, Ohio. You can take a look at WSPD.com. I should just mention that Brian is one of the stars of talk radio. We'll know that freedom has come into its own in America when Brian Wilson has got a big syndicated talk show and Sean Hannity is flipping burgers on Long Island.
We're going to the Von Mises Institute for Lou Rockwell. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the brain starts to get all of its necessary information. Author of Speaking of Liberty and a brand new book that's coming out. We'll talk about that soon, but not now. Ladies and gentlemen, from down in Auburn, Alabama, Lou Rockwell. How you doing, Lou?
Hi, Brian. Great to be with you.
I am thrilled that you're here because, as Glenn says, we're going to have to wrap our heads in duct tape to keep it from exploding because I just can't figure out what the hell's going on here. I was talking to an attorney in the last half hour. We were both cruising the Constitution trying to find the authorization referencing the executive branch that gives the president the authority to do all these wonderful things he's done since the big news hit about Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers and Freddie and Fannie and all the rest of these troops, and now General Motors and Chrysler. I told the folks before you got here that among all the people I know, you're among the top three in authorities on the Constitution, so I thought maybe you could help us out and find out where that authorization is.
Well, you know, unfortunately, the Constitution doesn't seem to have much to do with the presidency anymore.
Damn it!
I mean, the guy who holds that office, and that's true of Obama just as well as of Bush, they claim the right to start wars on their own. They claim the right to spend billions and trillions of dollars, reward all their pals in secret, do any kind of crazy executive order, including secret executive orders. Of course, put people in camps and keep them secretly and torture them. So, you know, doesn't have much to do with the Constitution of the Founding Fathers, I'm sorry to say. I wish to goodness it did.
So I guess I don't need this anymore. I could just kind of, you know, put this up on the shelf somewhere or use it to throw darts or look at pictures of funny men in wigs, something like that.
Well, I guess it gives us a good blueprint for returning to something like a free society. But we're, of course, been moving for a very long time, but especially since 9/11, and then, gosh, especially since the depression the Federal Reserve has brought on us, we've been moving just dramatically in the direction of, I don't know whether we call it socialism or fascism, but just a mega government and therefore smaller people.
Well, you know, the president said he was really sorry he had to do this, but he was afraid of a disorderly bankruptcy and the jolt to our economy. So I guess violating the Constitution is less of a jolt to the to society than possible reorganization under bankruptcy provisions for the automakers.
But even if he had the legal authority to do this, and he certainly doesn't, it still would be a very bad idea. After all, General Motors is losing, and it's tough to know exactly, but is losing about $4,000 per car sold in 2008. Now, when you have that sort of thing going on, if you subsidize it to keep going on, it moves from sort of the wealth destruction of the stockholders of General Motors to the entire American people. So that's what they've done. So the idea that this helps the economy to keep a black hole of finance in existence in Detroit, and of course Chrysler even worse, is just Alice in Wonderland economics.
Well, I guess that probably explains why it's so easily understood in Washington, then, if it's Alice in Wonderland economics.
But of course, you know, like a lot of stuff, it makes perfect sense in Washington because it's good for the government and it's good for the people, the government's friends, that it's rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as bad for the rest of us.
You wrote in a recent article at lourockwell.com, now it's jobs, right at the end, you had a great, you said, if we're really sincere about not wanting to repeat the 1930s, the political classes should do nothing but cut taxes and free the labor market, but otherwise do nothing to, quote, help, unquote, the problem. Just as objects fall when you drop them, so markets must adjust during recessions. Forgetting about the market dropping, I think everybody pretty much, is on top of that part. What hope do we possibly have of not repeating those good old 1930s when we seem to be following step by step the same things that were done back then?
Brian, we sure do, and we should remember that despite the New Deal, but the New Deal didn't actually help. The New Deal made things worse. All of Roosevelt's policies. It took 17 years to get out of the Great Depression. Now, I'd like to hope they're not doing something similar to us this time, but they're following. It's almost like they said, "Hey, let's copy Herbert Hoover and Franklin Roosevelt." I mean, they're doing everything that Hoover did and then that Roosevelt did to keep failing companies in existence at the expense of the few productive and profitable enterprises left in society, to continue inflating at a massive rate. And it's, by the way, having the same effect. That is, they're increasing the money supply. But just as in the 1930s, because people don't want to borrow, especially businesses don't want to borrow, and why should they? And banks don't want to lend. They want to be in a more prudent position. We're not seeing that inflation in our prices yet. In fact, we're seeing prices go down, which is a wonderful thing. The only good thing that the regular guy gets out of a depression is prices go down, gasoline and the rest. This, of course, bothers the people in Washington. He knows they don't want houses becoming more affordable and other prices falling. So they want to keep, say, GM's prices up, Chrysler's prices up, housing prices up. They want to stick it to us doubly in a depression. We're all poorer, so they want to raise our taxes, keep the prices up. And they're proceeding exactly down the same path that Hoover and Roosevelt proceeded on, that turned a bad recession of 1929 into the Great Depression that lasted until 1946.
Well, on that part, because we have more people and we have greater technology, and there's more zeros at the end of all these numbers than there were back then. We have 80 trillion or whatever the current number is when we factor in unfunded mandates, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, prescription drug, all that crap. And then another, somewhere between $7 and $10 trillion based on the big giveaways that have been going on during the bailouts here, Freddie and Fannie and Cap Bank and all the rest of that nonsense. So whatever that gastronomical number happens to be, is there any possibility that through productivity and so on, that we can pull out of this? Because it seems as if, we're just heading towards the wall at 150 miles an hour. And even though the wall may be a couple of miles off, it's inevitable.
Well, there is a way to pull out of it, but you can't get rid of the pain. So it's a little bit like somebody who's been an alcoholic for 10 years, and he goes to the doctor and he says, "I'm sick and tired. I want to get better." And the doctor says, "Well, first stop drinking, and then do these things." And the guy says, "Well, yeah, okay, I'm willing to do that, but how do I get rid of all the damage I did to my body?" Well, you know what? You can't get rid of the damage, or at least not right away. You have to go through some pain. So during the boom time, which in effect is the whole economy getting drunk, thanks to Alan Greenspan, Bernanke, the Federal Reserve, and all the rest of the gang in Washington, this is when the damage is done. This is when people buy crazily priced houses they can't afford, enter into mortgages they can't afford. It's when businesses expand when they shouldn't be, whether it's General Motors or a bunch of others. It's when subdivisions are built that shouldn't be. We have far too many houses, far too many casinos, far too many condos in Florida and Nevada and New York. And so all these mistakes were made that seemed like great ideas during the boom, but actually were wealth destruction going on, what Mises called a malinvestment, not a real investment, but almost a negative investment. So that has to be fixed. We have to get rid of that. So the only question is, do we get rid of it fast, as in, say, happened in the Depression of 1921, 1922? Now, nobody's heard of the Depression of 1921 and 22, even though it was very, very deep. But if you look at it on a chart, it goes way down, and then it goes right back up again very quickly because Warren G. Harding and the rest of the people in Washington, even the Federal Reserve, did Zippo. So we came out of that very quickly. Unfortunately, Hoover and Roosevelt didn't follow Warren Harding's prescriptions, and they did all the wrong things. Bush and Obama are also apparent. Maybe we'll have hope for Obama, but not so far. And certainly Bush has done everything wrong. So we can come out of it. There's huge wealth and huge productivity, huge brains and creativity and entrepreneurship in America, but the government is strangling us. So the first thing we have to do is pry their hands off our throat. So that's the first thing, but they're gripping tighter and tighter. So, yeah, we can come out of it.
Well,
we can be a great economy again. We can have prosperity again. And by the way, we're going to have a worse year in 2009, maybe a worse year in 2010. We have not seen the end of this by any means, so it's why everybody, by the way, should do the opposite of what. It's always a good idea to do the opposite of what the government tells you. The government says, "Hey, spend every dime, go into debt, spend, stop spending, save your money." That's the best way to build for the future for your own family and yourself, and also for the country. So we can come out of this. Don't have to be in perpetual poverty, but Bush and Obama and those guys in Washington, if they get their way, whether intentionally or not, I'm sure they're well-intended. They don't intend to make us poor, but they are making us poor. We're already much poorer than we were, say, in the year 2006. It's going to get worse. So we have to try to fix things, pry the government's stranglehold off our neck.
Yeah, I kind of get the impression sometimes that people are saying, you know, that hurts pretty good. I kind of like that. All right. I want you to do a little bit more of that. You know, we've only got a couple of minutes left. There's two questions I wanted to ask you. Number one, we often pose the rhetorical question here on the show, what is the function of government in a free society? And we go around and around on that. Can you give us your take on that?
Well, I must say I'm not a big fan of government in any sense, and I think that it has shown itself to be uncontrollable. But if we to whatever extent we can move back in time, to whatever extent we can lessen the role of government in our lives and in the life of the economy, the better off we're going to be. But just I would say exactly what Jefferson said: the less, the better.
Indeed.
The smaller the government, the better off we are.
On that note, segue into you have a new book that's on the way, Left, Right, and the State. Can you give us a thumbnail on that and whether or not it will be out in time to be a great stocking stuffer?
Well, I hope so. It should be available within a week or 10 days. Mm-hmm. It's called The Left, the Right, and the State, and it'll be on Amazon. And it's a discussion of the two threats we face, both status on the left, status on the right, and how they want to build the government and the special interest at the expense of the rest of us, and what we can do about it.
Well,
how to analyze this, what to be concerned about, and what to do.
I look forward to reading that, and I'll have you back on, and we'll run through that for everybody, because it's along with Speaking of Liberty, another great work of yours that should be in everybody's library. Have a Merry Christmas, Lou. Thanks a lot for your time and for your guidance, and we look forward to yapping with you in 2009.
Brian, thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Lou Rockwell, lourockwell.com is the website, the Ludwig von Mises Institute in Auburn, Alabama. You can check them out, too. Subscribe to their newsletter and learn stuff, important stuff.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show, produced by lourockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. Thanks for listening.